supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
They're in Portland tonight, the tip at 10. Flyers are away as well. They meet the Stars at 8. The Union in their season opener are in Houston against the Dynamo. It's at 8:30. Villanova lost to George Mason, 61-57, and Temple faces San Diego State in Tucson, the tip at 6:10 this evening. This is WHYY.
Welcome to You Bet Your Garden. I'm your host, Mike McGrath. Coming up later in the show, it's a topic I can't believe has ever made for a question of the week up to now, and that is pruning roses. So we're going to correct that omission just in time to get you ready for rose pruning season. You won't want to miss it. But mostly it's a phone call show, cats and kittens, and you know what that means. We're taking that heap and helping at 1-888-346-9499. Karen, welcome to You Bet Your Garden.
Hello.
Hello, Karen. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. And where is Karen good?
I'm in the Kennett Square, Pennsylvania area, mushroom country.
Yeah, well, it's also horse country. You know, the horses smell a little bit better than the mushroom farms on a... on a hot and sunny day when the wind is not favoring you. But we should also tell people outside of our area, you're in the home of vast horticultural wonders like Longwood Gardens and Chanticleer and all these fabulous botanic gardens.
Absolutely.
All right. What can we do for Karen in Kennett Square?
We live in a home that was built about 4 years ago. About 5 years ago. We've been in it 4 years. And when the developer built the home, they did some landscaping, and they put a lilac in the front of the house, and it faces north, and then the house also angles and blocks off all the sun from the west. So it doesn't get any sun, or hardly any sun, except in the, you know, for maybe an hour in the middle of the day in the summer when the sun is right over the top of the house, and it's not blooming very much.
Right. Have you ever seen it bloom?
Yeah, it gets about 5 or 6 flowers.
But obviously the poor thing would love to be in a different location.
Correct.
Right.
And I would love to move it.
Right.
I just want to know if it's possible and when is the best time to do that.
The strongest time of this plant would be right after it finishes blooming. So let's hope for a couple of flowers this year.
Okay.
When those flowers fade, I want you to... How big is the lilac at this point?
It's just about 6 feet tall and about 6 feet around.
Okay. Any pruning that would be done right after flowering. If there's a portion of the plant that you could remove to make the move easier, not the worst idea in the world. The goal you want to achieve is to get as much of the root mass out of the ground, still wrapped up in soil. And what you want to do really, ideally, you don't want to see any roots. You want to get a couple of guys with shovels to make a wide hole like a couple feet out from the plant.
Okay.
And really try to get under it and really try to avoid the root system as much as possible. And then have a big, heavy, strong tarp ready. And instead of trying to carry the plant, these big, muscular men who've dug this enormous hole will just mosey the plant on over to the tarp and then pick up and carry the tarp with the root ball in the middle to the new site. The site should get morning sun. It doesn't have to get a fanatical amount of sun, but it needs to get the first sun of the morning. And, of course, a lilac will take as much sun as you will give it, but it is the morning sun that is absolutely essential. Plant it in the evening to avoid the stress of it being transplanted and then roasting, perhaps, on a really hot day.
Okay. So
plant it in the evening. Put it in the ground, plant it at the same height it was in the old hole. Don't improve the soil it goes into, but do mulch the surface of the soil on top with real nice compost. If you're going to use the mushroom soil that's locally available, make sure it's well aged. And
I usually buy the Maryland, the leaf grow.
Oh, excellent. Yes, Maryland's leaf grow, which is a fabulous compost. Maryland, the state of Maryland, has one of the best composting programs in the country. Very hip. That's fine. I love it. So give it a good inch or two mulch of compost. Go out as far as you can. The night you plant it, have a hose dripping at the base all night long.
Okay.
And do that. Let a hose drip at the base of the plant every other day for a couple days if we don't get rain. And then have a pretty heavy hand with the water, but always at the base of the plant the first summer. I think you're probably going to do just fine, and you'll see what this plant is capable of doing.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. I appreciate your help.
Well, thank you. Good luck with your move.
Bye.
1-888-346-9499. Andy, welcome to You Bet Your Garden.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Andy, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
And where is Andy doing well?
I'm from Cornelius, North Carolina, just north of Charlotte, about 30 miles.
All right. What can we do for you, sir?
My wife and I are both teachers, and we, in the last few years, we bought a house 3 years ago, and we put in some raised beds, and because we both have summers off, the first year we enjoyed quite a bit of produce and herbs from our garden. But we, since my wife is from Texas and I'm from Ohio, we've started to spend a lot of our summers visiting family. And 2 years ago, I tried to just wing it, and we tried to keep our vacation short enough to not leave our garden for so long that it would come back in shambles, and that didn't work too well. And so this year I'm considering a drip irrigation system hooked up to a timer, and I just wanted to know what your thoughts were on that and if you had any recommendations or what the pitfalls might be. My wife is worried we're going to come home to a yard that's flooded or a house that's flooded. And so I was just wondering what your thoughts were.
The odds of the house being flooded are remote. How big is your garden?
Very small. We have one bed that is 4 by 8 foot. We have two beds that are 4 by 4 foot. And I'm thinking about putting in another 4 by 8 foot this season. But again, that's when she said, hang on. We plan on traveling again. Don't go crazy. But I'm not ready to give up my gardens yet so that we can travel.
I hear you. Here's the story. It's your basic idea is a good plan. What do you use for a mulch on the surface to retain moisture?
This last year I used pine needles, but since I've listened to your show, I've been piling up the leaves from last year. So I've got those chopped up and ready to go. They haven't composted yet, so I plan on using them for mulch this season.
Excellent. Actually, they have composted, Andy. The compost is on the bottom. You can't see it.
Oh, okay, good.
So the bottom part you'll use in reverse order. The bottom part you'll use to top dress your beds with fresh compost, and then the unshredded leaves will go on top as your moisture-conserving mulch. In between the compost and the shredded leaves is where you will put soaker hoses.
Okay.
And you have two choices here. You can buy hoses that sweat or hoses with tiny pinholes that drip.
Okay.
And then it is a simple matter to hook those up to a hose with a regulator and a timer.
Okay. But
the wild card is rain.
Okay.
There are some very high-end in-ground irrigation systems that have built-in rain gauges that can sense when it rains, and they do not turn themselves on. Ideally, I mean, if you've got a lot of shredded leaves on the surface of the soil, you got these soaker hoses underneath the leaves. Where are you? North Carolina. So it's pretty warm in the summer.
Yeah, and usually when we travel, it's July and August. So it's the hottest. It's absolutely the hottest time down here.
And it's also the time of least likely rainfall.
Right.
Okay, all right. I would suggest we set this thing up soon.
Okay.
So we can test it for a couple of weeks in the spring.
Okay.
And what you want to do, I think, is you want to run it for 4 hours at a pop twice a week. Ideally from like 4 a.m. to 8 a.m. spaced apart twice in 1 week. That should deliver a half an inch, 3/4 of an inch each time. It should give the plants time to dry out. I mean, ideally, I would like to put down 1 deep inch once a week, But for some reason, in the back of my head, I'm thinking break this in half because we got the soaker hoses and we've got the mulch on top and the air is going to be pretty dry.
Sure. Maybe this is something I can put in place and just let it take over for me and keep an eye on it, and I can adjust before the summer comes.
Soaker hoses and sweat hoses are the most efficient way to water when they're covered by mulch. You will get
okay.
the most water at the root zone of your plant. You will waste the least amount of water. It's very efficient. It's delivering the water to the safest part of the plant. You're never wetting the leaves. Even without the vacation involved, yes, this is a very good idea.
Okay.
Well, have a good rest of the school year and have a great garden.
All right. Thank you very much.
Take care, man.
You too.
Well, it's time for me to take a little break and invite our listeners around the country to join us here in Philadelphia when we have a live web chat. That's where we type out answers to immediately asked questions at our website, which is the website of our presenting station, whyy.org/garden. The web chat will be Wednesday, March 23rd at noon. That's noontime Eastern Standard Time. So when it's noon in New York and Philly, we will be, quote, on the air answering your questions live at our website, whyy.org/garden. It is a great chance for you to get an extra hour of You Bet Your Garden into your week. So join us. That's Wednesday, noon, EST, March 23rd at whyy.org/garden. But don't go rushing to that website just yet, because we'll be right back with lots more of your fabulous phone calls and the correct way to prune a rose bush to keep it healthy all summer long. I'm Mike McGrath, and this is You Bet Your Garden.
You Bet Your Garden is made possible with support from Seed Savers Exchange, whose 2011 Heirloom Seed Catalog, offering nearly 600 varieties, is now available. Learn more at seedsavers.org.
You're listening to WHYY. It's 1119.
Folkways at Gwynedd supports WHYY. Guided by time-honored Quaker values, Folkways is a continuing care retirement community for adults 65 and over. Since 1967, Folkways has been providing its residents with a comprehensive health program and financial stability. Folkways is committed to friendship, caring, and respect as a way of life. For more information or a personal tour, the number is 215-283-7010.
Supporting WHYY Backyard Farmers, offering organic products to turn your backyard into a family food producing experience. From vegetable gardens to hen houses to rainwater harvesting systems. More at backyardfarmers.com.
Welcome back to You Bet Your Garden. I'm your host, Mike McGrath. Coming up later in the show, roses are the most popular flower in our landscape, and they need a good springtime pruning just about everywhere they're grown. But exactly when and exactly how can help determine the health of that rose all summer long. We will hold your hand through rose pruning time when we get to the question of the week. But that's after lots more of your fascinating phone calls at 1-888-346-9499. Erin, welcome to You Bet Your Garden.
Hi.
Hello, Erin.
I have a question about a vegetable garden. I've never really had one, and I've certainly never started one from scratch. And I have a little plot of land in my yard that I think would be a good spot. And so I wanted to know if you had any crash course type, you must do this at the very least. I was reading on your website this morning, and I found the first time veggie garden post. And so I think I've got down kind of what I need to do to get the raised beds made in this location.
And where are you?
I'm in North Texas, just north of Dallas.
Ooh, okay. So,
it'll get pretty hot.
Yeah, pretty hot and dry.
Right. So the place that I've picked is on the east side of the house.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I went out there at 1:30 this afternoon, and it was already almost completely in the shade. and hopefully protected from the blistering sun.
Right, so you read enough articles on the website to know that where you are, afternoon shade is a blessing.
Right.
Well, you said you're going to build raised beds, so follow the plan. No wider than 4 feet, but as long as you want to make them, I would recommend building 2 4x8s to get started.
Okay.
Make sure you find a good source of high-quality compost and topsoil to fill the frames with. And what are you going to grow? We talking tomatoes and herbs and peppers, that kind of stuff?
Yeah. Definitely tomatoes. I'd really like to grow some dill and maybe basil.
Right.
I'd like to grow bell peppers, maybe green onions, spinach, and I'd really like to have berries, but I don't know if berries grow very well in Texas.
Okay, good. Well, yeah, then it's really good that we're talking. the spring onions and the spinach, those are cool weather crops. Where you are, for instance, you could probably grow, you would probably put in your crop of spinach in the fall, and it would grow all winter long and all spring. But
Okay. Spinach
could not take your heat for 20 minutes, summertime heat. And say,
is there anything like that that's lettucey and leafy that could take growing in Texas?
Funny thing you say that. There are two specialty plants that are used as spinach substitutes. One is called, I think it's Maldabar spinach, and I'm blanking out on the other one, but these are vines. They are not small, low-to-the-ground plants like true spinach. But there's two of them, and they're tropical vines, and their leaves are edible, and they look a lot like spinach, and they taste somewhat like spinach. And they're what people in your climate grow over the summertime. And if you look through a seed catalog under spinach, you'll see these two plants listed under spinach.
Okay. What about the bell peppers?
Bell peppers are going to love your summertime. Make sure they get lots of afternoon shade because they are subject to sun scald in a hot environment like yours. The benefit for you is you have a long season, so don't pick them green. Let them color up, and you'll get beautiful red or yellow or orange peppers. It'll be much more tasty and nutritious.
Okay.
Now, the fruits are problematic. You need to do some more research on that because a lot of fruits are cool weather or cool climate lovers. They have certain chilling requirements. There are fruits you can grow down where you are, but that's something where you're going to do better getting local advice from a nursery. For instance, there's a couple of varieties of blueberries you might be able to get away with. It's not the ideal climate for them. You might be too warm for good raspberry production. Although I've heard from people in your area that even though the books say they shouldn't, they get good raspberry production. I believe blackberries would do very well in your area. But the cane fruits, raspberries and blackberries, spread. They don't stay in one place. So they migrate all over the garden. And outside of one variety called the thornless blackberries, the thorns on most blackberry plants are extremely nasty and dangerous. But, you know, you're a first-year gardener, so I want you to go slow. I want you to build 2 raised beds. I want you to grow some veggies in it. I don't want you to try starting any of your own seeds. I want you to go out and buy your plants, read up on how to grow your tomatoes because yours are going to get really big. I want you to build cages out of concrete reinforcing wire down where you are and have success with 2 raised beds. And then over the off season, you can grow lettuce and spinach from September through like June. You can go nuts with lettuce and spinach in the off season. And then as you progress, give yourself time to get good at it, to learn, and every year add something new to the garden.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
All right. Good luck, Aaron.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
1-888-346-9499. Evelyn, welcome to You Bet Your Garden.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hi, Evelyn. How are you?
I'm very well. And you?
I am doing fine. Thank you. Where is Evelyn very well?
In Olive Branch, Mississippi.
Olive Branch, Mississippi. That's an interesting name for a town. All right. What can we do for Evelyn down in Mississippi?
I've been listening to your show, and I haven't really heard as much about southern grasses, how to prepare them, the lawns for the summer.
Right.
Right now, it's about, 73 degrees here, and I have these weeds that are coming out, and I'm trying not to use commercial weed killer on them, but I want to get my yard ready for the summer.
Okay, so Evelyn, do you have any idea what kind of a grass you have? There are
Bermuda?
You do have Bermuda grass. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Very good. If you listen to the show, I always do try to make the distinction between southern lawns and northern lawns. And your timing is really good because I'm always yelling at people in the Northeast that they can't sow a new lawn or they can't really improve their lawn in the spring. They have to wait till the fall. But your Bermuda grass comes from a climate as warm as Bermuda. And the time to work on that grass is in the spring and summer. As long as it's actively growing, that's when you can really fix it up. Now, who cuts your lawn?
Me and my son.
Okay. And do you? What do you cut it with? What type of a mower?
A push mower.
Really? But when you say a push mower, you don't mean one with a spinning metal reel. You mean a gasoline-powered push mower.
Yes, gasoline-powered.
Okay. Your lawn can take a lower cut than a northern lawn. Everything about southern lawns is very different than northern lawns. So your lawn should be cut at about 2 inches. Bermuda grass is a very aggressive grass, Evelyn. What kind of weeds are battling it out with your Bermuda grass?
But I have these wild onions that are growing.
Oh.
They are growing so thick, they look like maybe they were spring bulbs I planted.
Right. That's a good comparison, Ev, because those are bulbing plants. They are invulnerable to any kind of herbicide because of the design of the plant. You know, the top part above ground is a long, thin spike. And at the bottom of that spike is a round root system that can hold more energy than an alkaline battery. So this is a very well-evolved weed. And you are correct. Your lawn's stressful time is over the winter when it gets cold. Now, as your weather starts to warm up, your lawn will get stronger every day. About what time of year does your Bermuda grass start to green up completely, Ev?
Late April.
Okay. I don't want you to be too aggressive with it until we get to where it is turning nice and bright green, because that's when you can really whack away at parts of your lawn and you won't disturb the Bermuda grass. Here's what I recommend for these clumps of onion grass.
Okay.
There is a tool you can buy online and through their catalog. The company name is Lee Valley Tools, L-E-E. And the tool is called a water weeder. You could probably even make one yourself if you were handy. It's a long metal spike you attach to your hose, and it's got a very thin hole at the business end of the spike. So you stand up, you jam the water weeder into the ground right around this root zone of these bulbing weeds, and when you pull the trigger, all the pressure of your hose goes down this thin needle-like nozzle and blows the root system of these rogue plants out of the ground. Your lawn will recover from the damage very quickly. You didn't use any chemicals. You only buy this once, and you'll always have this very valuable tool for getting out the roots of these kind of tough weeds, and there's no bending over. You do it all while you're standing up. It is a very satisfying tool. So after it's completely green, do the first run of getting rid of these weeds. Then give your lawn a good natural feeding. You can use corn gluten meal. You can use compost. You can use a bagged organic fertilizer. Let that settle in. And then I would probably, since we're going to be doing a lot of damage, pulling out all this onion grass, I would feed your lawn 3 times over the course of a summer, 3 equal feedings while it's nice and green. And that'll give it the energy to fill in these bare spots. By the time we get to the fall, I think you'll have a 95% Bermuda grass lawn.
Okay, thank you very much.
You got a plan. Good luck.
Thank you.
Take
Bye-bye.
Care. 1-888-346-9499. Nancy, welcome to You Bet Your Garden.
Hi, Mike. I'm out in the media, PA. I'm at a retirement life community, and I have a little plot of ground. It's approximately 7 foot by, say, 15.
Okay.
It's my little garden. And last year, I grew Brussels sprouts and pumpkins for my grandnephew.
That is a bizarre combination, Nancy.
It was.
That is the strangest garden I've ever heard of.
But we won a prize.
I'll bet you did for the strangest garden ever seen by man.
I got 15 pumpkins out of this little garden. It was really crazy.
Yeah, but the vines weren't tiny, were they?
They encroached all over
everybody else.
Yeah. Yes, I had to pull them out of the pathways, and I'm not going to do it again. This year I would like to plant blueberries, and I assume that they would be perennials, and I would just have a blueberry patch for year after year. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay. What I'd like is some information about the soil and how I would take care of them, and is there a particular blueberry plant that would be good for this area in Pennsylvania?
Well, blueberries are a northern crop to begin with. Blueberries are native to North America. We're in the catbird seat when it comes to growing these plants. I'd say from New England down to like almost Washington, D.C. is prime a blueberry territory. Blueberries grow on single shrubs. They are not canes like raspberries. They have a very different habit. There are three or four different types of blueberries, but pretty much everybody in your situation is going to grow what are called high bush
okay.
Blueberries. These are the most common ones.
All right.
The bushes will grow to be about 4 or 5 feet tall. It'll take a couple years for them to get to bearing size.
Oh, really?
Yes, unless you're going to spend a fortune and have somebody sell you relatively full-grown, like five-year-old plants, it is a process.
Oh, okay.
It's much more fruit tree-like than it is raspberry-like, where you get pretty immediate gratification.
Oh, okay.
But,
well, at my age, I don't know whether I want to plant something that's going to take 4 or 5 years.
Well, I do have to be honest with you and say that is the deal.
Okay, well, that could be a deciding factor.
And you would start to get good crops the third year.
You would get
some blueberries the second year.
Okay.
The first year, you're just supposed to pull off all the flowers and any developing fruits to let the roots get big.
Oh, okay.
And then by about the third year, you'd get some good picking.
Okay.
The plants are very attractive. They have four-season interest. They are drop-dead gorgeous in the fall. They have beautiful red leaves in the fall. And those leaves hang on the plant as long as any leaf with tremendous fall color. You would want to obviously look around and try to find relatively mature plants.
Okay.
And the two things you need to do, you need to acidify their soil. Their soil needs to be about half peat moss.
Okay. All right. Half.
So they are real acidic soil lovers. They can't be grown in an area, for instance, where there's a lawn right next door and the lawn is going to be limed.
No, well, these are all little, they're assigned plots, and no one's growing grass. They're all growing tomatoes, peppers.
Right. You have to remember not to put anything on them that could raise the alkalinity. They want it as acid as possible.
Okay, I wrote acid very clearly.
If you cut your finger and stick it in the soil a blueberry is growing in, it should hurt. That's how acidic they want their soil to be. They like a lot of moisture. And then there's only one pest that bothers them, and that is birds, who will fight you for every blueberry. So
I'm concerned about that because this is at the edge of an open field.
That doesn't matter. The birds would travel to get to blueberry. They would pay tolls. The birds would stick little Easy Pass transponders to their heads to get across a bridge to get to a blueberry patch. You know, if you don't want to plant for the future, that's totally understandable. You might be able to sleaze your way around it if you can get somebody to sell you really full-grown plants. Otherwise, just plant like two or three different kind of fabulous annuals every year, or put in a sweet corn patch next year, or grow tropical melons the year after that. But I do have to be honest and say blueberries take a little bit to get established. They are a long-term fruit. You'll get your best crops off them after about 3 or 4 or 5 years.
Okay, well, that's very valuable information. I think I might change my whole plan.
Yeah, just have fun.
Pass this on to my niece, who just might be interested in, you know, she's younger, and she could wait out the 5 years, and
yeah.
She has a nice little piece of property. So this is still information that I will use.
And tell her you'll be happy to come over and help when it's time to pick.
Right.
All right, Nance?
Okay, thank you very much for your help. I
All
love
right.
your show, and you're one of the reasons that I support WHYY.
All right, that is our local originating station, and we thank you. For
oh,
that
well,
support.
I thank you, my dear. You're great. Your information is wonderful. Thanks again.
Thank you, Nance.
Okay, bye.
Well, it's time for me to take a little break and put another run of pre-sprouted snow pea seeds out into my garden. Snow peas are fun to grow. They're super tasty, very productive if you pick them promptly, and tray expensive to buy in the supermarket, making them the perfect homegrown crop. But you have to get them out there early if you want a nice long run of pea picking fun. Just don't you go coaxing sprouts to appear on your Asian edibles just yet, because we'll be right back with more of your fabulous phone calls and how to prune your roses for a happy, healthy summer. I'm Happy Healthy Mike McGrath, and this is You Bet Your Garden.
You Bet Your Garden is made possible with support from Seed Savers Exchange, whose 2011 Heirloom Seed Catalog, offering nearly 600 varieties, is now available. Learn more at seedsavers.org.
It's 11:38, 53 degrees in Center City.
Mike McGrath, right back at you with local events. I'll get you ready for a pest and weed-free season at 1 p.m. tomorrow, Sunday, March 20th, when I reveal the 7 secrets of successful organic gardeners at the Buck's Beautiful Garden Show at Delaware Valley College in Doylestown. That's tomorrow at 1. Next Saturday, March 26th, Ant-Man himself will appear at the Wagner Free Institute of Science, detailing his adventures among the ants at 1 p.m. Then on Saturday, April 2nd, I'll deliver 2 talks at the Green Gardening Workshop and Native Plant Sale at the Lower McCungie Community Center in the beautiful Lehigh Valley. Get your lawn off drugs at 10 a.m. and the 7 Secrets of Successful Organic Gardeners at noon. We'll post all the details at the events section of our website, youbetyourgarden.org.
What does your glass contain? Take the Fit quiz and find out how your beverage of choice rates. Also discover easy-to-swallow alternatives to sugary drinks. Check out Is the Glass Half Full or Empty at whyy.org/fit. WHYY forecast for today, mostly sunny skies and breezy. The high about 57. Tonight, clear and cold, the low 31. And tomorrow, sunny with a high of 52. Right now, it's 53 degrees.
Welcome back to You Bet Your Garden. I'm your host, Mike McGrath, and we're in the stretch now, cats and kittens. In just a little bit, we'll get to the question of the week. How and when to prune your roses to make sure they have their best shot at a happy, healthy, disease-free summer. You won't want to miss this vital information. And you won't. It's coming up right after a couple more of your fascinating phone calls. At 1-888-346-9499. Kathy, welcome to You Bet Your Garden.
Well, thank you very much, Mike. I wish I had a tissue or some aspirin for you.
I'm dying here, but everybody's dying this time of year. Airplane rides.
That is exactly right.
They just suck the life out of you.
So I appreciate you taking my call.
I got to be someplace, and my wife kicked me out. She said she was tired of hearing me moaning.
Oh, no. Oh, well, men are kind of wimpy about things like that. So
we are total amateurs when it comes to being sick. Where are you, Kath?
I have a farm in what is called Leggett, Texas, and there's one flashing light and a convenience store. It's north of Houston, an hour and a half north of Houston,
okay.
East Texas.
All right. What can we do for Kathy in East Texas?
Well, I cannot find straw around here. Hay, yes. Now, would it be possible to use alfalfa hay, Mike?
Any hay, by definition, is going to have the seed heads attached.
That's what I'm worried about.
And the seeds will sprout in your garden beds. And
I don't want that.
Oh, man, I made the mistake, a rookie mistake, when I was a young gardener. I got hay instead of straw, grew a wheat field. And,
oh, gosh.
And I got mad at it, and I went to rip it out with my bare hands, and that's when I found out how sharp wheat was.
Oh, yes, it'll rip you. Oh, gosh.
Oh, yeah, it was nasty. So you're looking for mulch.
Right, and I do have pine trees around.
Nothing
and,
wrong
it's
with...
it's so mixed up with everything else on my property, but I know it's so good, and I need to get that. But.
Yeah, pine straw is a real preferred mulch down south. I guess one of the problems here is you don't have access to a lot of supply houses.
No. I go into feed stores and nurseries and ask them, please, where can I get some straw? Can you please order some?
No, they're not going to have straw for you. That's more of a thing up here, where we have more dairy farming going on.
Right.
What you might be able to find is any seed or hull mulch.
Like peanut hulls or something?
Correct. Although I'm told that peanuts might be problematic. But you can often find cotton hulls, pecan shell mulch. Up here we can get cocoa hull mulch. Any seed or nut hull that's left over after processing, these are fabulous organic mulches. They don't do anything bad, and they contribute a lot of nutrients to the soil. Because I'm presuming you don't have a lot of deciduous trees, right?
I do, but not near my property. I've got them right up the fence line. It's 20 acres, and so I've got some back in the back pasture, but mostly it's pine trees.
Well, if you were to invest in probably a higher end than I have, but a leaf vacuum that shreds them as you pull them up, that would
be,
you know, you do that in the fall, you got all the mulch you need for the following year for free.
Right. I've thought about getting a mulcher, but I've not done it.
There is no better mulch for a vegetable garden than shredded fall leaves, especially where you are, where you really need to conserve soil moisture.
Exactly. We've had such a drought like so many places. It's really been bad.
So I would say save your money for buying materials, put it towards a good machine to shred the leaves very efficiently, and you're done. You're ahead of the game.
Okay, that sounds good. And, Mike, I love your show.
Well, thank you, Kath.
I'm such a fan, and I have to get up at 6 in the morning to listen to it because that's when it comes on here.
Well, you got to get up at 6 in the morning anyway to get out there and work before it gets too hot in the summer.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. But I enjoy and I love your sense of humor, too.
Right. In this situation, I'm like the organic hog report, right? You know, first thing you hear when you get up.
No.
All right, Kath, take care. Stay cool this summer.
All right, you too, Mike. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Bye.
1-888-346-9499. Wayne, welcome to You Bet Your Garden.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I am doing just fine, Wayne. Thank you, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great.
And where is Wayne doing great?
In Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
Gotcha. And what can we do for Wayne in Cherry Hill?
Well, we got a couple of older lilac bushes in the back of my property that have stopped blooming the last couple of years.
That's unusual.
Yes, and they're probably 25 to 30 years old. They're from my wife's aunt's farm up in upstate Pennsylvania from years ago, so they have a special memory for her. And I was looking for some help to get them to bloom again.
When did they get moved?
No, 25 years ago. They've been in the same spot in my property for 25 years now.
So they bloom fine for years and years.
For years and years, and in the last couple of years, they've slowed up, and now only one is blooming a little teeny bit.
Okay, three possibilities. One, is anyone pruning them?
I do after the blooming season is over just once, just to keep them in shape, that's all.
Okay, and you're sure you're doing it at the right time?
Well, right after the blooms are done, I usually do it right then.
Okay, that's fine. Perfectly good. That should actually induce more blooms the following year.
Okay.
Is anyone feeding them?
No, I haven't been, and they look a little bit like they might be a little bit anemic. The leaves aren't quite as green as they once were.
Are they mulched?
Yes.
With?
Just a little bit of composty stuff, like leaves and stuff like this that happen in the wintertime.
Okay. Is it leaves?
Yeah.
Or is it compost?
No, it's actually leaves and grass and stuff like this.
Get rid of it.
Okay.
Yeah. Since when does nature pile her trash around the base of her most valuable plants?
Right. Well, it turns into compost. That's what the base was.
Yes, but the bottom of a lilac is not exactly the ideal composting pile.
Aha, uh-huh. Got it. Okay.
What I would prefer to see, and where's the grass clippings coming from?
Just my lawn.
And do you treat your lawn?
No, I don't. That's my next question, actually. No, I don't. I should be, I guess, but I don't.
No? So nope. You don't put weed and feed, you don't use herbicides?
No, I have a mess for a lawn, and that's my second question today, if I have time.
And you don't feed it?
No, I don't.
Huh, okay. Well, the grass clippings are still a bad idea because they're nitrogen. Get rid of that. Okay. Now, the only issue that's left is sun.
Full sun. All the time.
All the time.
Yep.
All right, well then, the only thing I can think of is that you're smothering this thing because the leaves aren't even shredded, right?
Yeah, they are. They're shredded up.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. And the lilac is getting full sun.
Full sun all the time.
Okay. And there's no holes in the trunk or anything like that. It doesn't have any open sores. It's not bleeding.
No, nothing that's noticeable.
Okay. So here's the plan, Stan. Now, you realize the plan may not have its full effect until next year because these buds are already set, whatever
yeah,
you got. But you can't see them now. I can't see any buds on my lilac right now. This is not their best time of year. Get rid of the underneath the lilac.
So get under the soil.
Replace it with a thin layer of compost. And then I want you to go out and get a natural fertilizer with a high middle number that's got a lot of phosphorus. Oh, like a 3-5-3, something like that. You know,
okay.
the three numbers on a bag of fertilizer are nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if a little bloom booster
can
help out. And if the fertilizer is granular, I want you to lay it on top of the compost, then cover it with another inch of compost. But other than that, I mean, even if it was old and tired, man, the pruning after flowering should rejuvenate it. And if it's getting all that sun, it should be a happy camper. And it's not crowded by other plants.
No, it's not.
Okay. Well, then I think we put down some, get rid of this amateur hour mulch.
Okay.
We put down some real compost, some fertilizer with a big middle number, cover that with more compost, and think good thoughts.
Okay. I appreciate it. I have the worst lawn in the neighborhood, and I was looking to maybe replace it this summer. And what I was thinking of doing is cutting it real short, getting some new topsoil, applying the topsoil all across my property to regrade my property. I have some problem areas. And then putting in a zoysia lawn. Are you familiar with those?
I grew up with a zoysia grass lawn. They would go in the spring.
That's what I'm looking to do in the next couple of weeks?
Yeah.
Okay. Any problems with that in this area? I'm looking to cut down the maintenance, and I'm looking to cut down all the water use I can possibly, you know, conserve. I'm looking to be as easy as possible.
Zoysia makes a weed-free lawn, an impenetrable lawn. You simply know your lawn will be brown more months of the year than it'll be green.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do in the wintertime. I've seen them locally here, and I was just curious how it holds up. And, you know, is it something that you would recommend as far as the ease of use goes?
There is no easier care lawn that exists.
Okay.
The downside is it's not green most of the year.
Right, just in the
but
summertime.
Unlike any other lawn that you would install in Cherry Hill, zoysia is the only grass that would go in the spring.
Okay.
And if you're going to scalp it to do this, we need to see dirt blowing out the back of the mower. And then, yes, level the lawn.
Yeah, my grading needs to be redone. So I was just going to bring in a load of topsoil, spread it out, regrade a little bit, and then put the zoysia in. Is that the idea?
Level, buy 1.5 times as much zoysia plugs as they tell you need.
Okay.
Plant them a little denser. Keep them really well watered this first summer.
Mm-hmm.
You're good to go.
That's great. Thank you much. I appreciate it.
All right, Wayne. Take care, man.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. As promised, it's time for the question of the week, pruning roses correctly. We start off with a question from Pete in Upper Black Eddy, Pennsylvania. Mike, I have a lot of roses I want to begin pruning. Is it too soon to prune roses in my area? Also, it's a time-consuming pain in the neck to cut each branch and stalk individually. Can I take a slash-and-burn approach using hedge clippers? Thanks. Gee, Pete, why stop with hedge clippers? You could save even more time with a big chainsaw. Ooh, or ask Superman to drop by with a helicopter and he can fly around the yard holding it upside down with the blades going full blast. In other words, Pete, if you don't like these plants, why'd you plant so many of them? What you call slash and burn is known as whacking in the trade. Rose whackers are not highly regarded by more careful rosarians and typically have to use lots of chemicals throughout the summer to try and repair the damage they did in the spring. Pruning roses is a once-a-year task that should be done slowly and carefully. It's your best chance at spotting and removing problems early in the season and taking stock of any damage a severe winter has caused. Here's the plan. Wait until the roses begin growing again in the spring. Then wait a little longer if a hard freeze is predicted in the next 2 weeks, or a lot longer if it's still real early in the season and they're just responding to a freak warm spell, as freshly pruned roses can be severely damaged by a hard freeze. When the time comes, examine each bush carefully and remove any dead, damaged, disease, or just plain ugly canes. Where disease is evident, prune well below the diseased area, cutting only into healthy tissue. This avoids you feeling like you have to clean your pruners with some ill-advised toxin like the commonly recommended and extremely foolish bleach. If you're compulsive and you have to use something, wipe your pruners down with white vinegar. After this pruning, examine what's left. If the center of the plant is still crowded, remove some entire canes to improve the internal airflow. If you want to do some gentle shaping as well, go right ahead. If you want your canes to grow in certain directions, look to the little buds. Cut just above a bud that's pointing in a certain direction, and the cane will grow the way that bud is pointing. When you're all done, pick up and trash all of your prunings and remove any old mulch from around the rose. If it wasn't mulch, scrape off the top layer of soil. The area under a rose typically harbors lots of disease spores from previous years. Then mulch underneath the plant with an inch of fresh compost and you should be set. No chemical fertilizer, no wood mulch of any kind, and no mulch of any kind touching the trunk or the stem of the plant. We move on to Jim in Norman, Oklahoma, who writes, I've contracted to have replacement energy-saving windows installed on our home. I was going to prune back the roses under our bedroom windows in preparation, but noticed that they had started to sprout tiny leaves already. We had a week of 70-degree weather a little while ago. Should I prune them now? Should I wait? And should I trim back a little bit each week, or should I do it all in one big fell swoop? I went to your A to Z Answers section at your website and found all kinds of information on rooting and transplanting roses, but nothing on pruning them. I have to prune them within a few weeks for the contractor to have access. Thanks. Well, Jim, obviously you have a special but not uncommon situation. We get a lot of mail from people who need to protect plants while work is being done on their house. Now, it sounds like there's going to be an enormous amount of foot traffic, heavy lifting, and construction debris in the area. So my first suggestion is that we move them out of the way temporarily. As I explained on the show a few weeks back, roses take a move as well or better than any other plant, and yours would prefer to be someplace else during this renovation opera. So I suggest you cut them back as much as necessary, dig them up, and replant them in a temporary home. If the work is going to be completed quickly, just heal their roots into a big pile of topsoil or compost, water it all frequently, and then replant them when this adventure is over. But if stay in their spot, they must. Wait until the last minute to avoid that late hard freeze we discussed. Trim them back all at once, not a little bit at a time, and then do something to protect the plants and the workers. Maybe wrap each bush in a couple layers of burlap. Otherwise, the plants could suffer some spontaneous retribution for every deep scratch their thorns inflict. Now, if you had asked me this question back in December, I would have suggested you prune them on a freezing cold day during the winter. Pruning woody plants while they're dormant is risk-free. It's the possibility of a hard freeze in spring that makes the timing a little trickier right now, which is why I urge you to wait as long as possible. Really cautious rose growers don't generally prune until it's safe to put their tomato plants in the ground. Well, that sure was some good information on how to care for your roses now, wasn't it? Luckily, you can read the print version of the question of the week at your leisure, or even leisure, at the Gardens Alive website. Just click the link at our website, youbetyourgarden.org. Yikes, my producer is threatening to whack me back if I don't get out of this studio. We must be out of time. But you can call us anytime at 1-888-346-9499 or send us your email, your tired, your poor, your wretched, refuse teeming towards our garden shore at garden@whyy.org. Please tell us where you live. Please put the actual subject of your email in the subject line. And please check first to see if the information you seek is already waiting for you at our website, youbetyourgarden.org, where you can click through to the question of the week. Find the solution to hundreds of garden problems, hint, hint, just like yours, hint, hint, in our alphabetized archive of garden answers. And or listen to this show, listen to old shows, and or download this week's podcast. Elizabeth Perez Luna is executive producer of audio content for WHYY. Ken Queter plays our theme song. Our engineer this week is Fred Snyder. Our webmasters are Rich, master of the savage server, Banowitz, and Sarah the She-Devil Kazar. Our intern, Jessica Mandick, is recovering from her own pruning and will return next week. Helping us out today is the pride of Columbus, Ohio, Jesse Holler. The perfectly pruned Alexis Landis produces You Bet Your Garden for WHYY-FM in Philadelphia. Pruning this week's show is our esteemed editor, Al Banks. I'm Mike McGrath. I just like a little off the top, please. And what? Well, oh, right. I don't have anything left on top anymore. Never mind. And I'll see you next week. The Colorado potato beetle is the most dreaded foe of potato growers. I'm Mike McGrath, and on the next thrilling episode of You Bet Your Garden, we'll take a look at how to handle this spud-spoiling pest. Plus your fabulous phone calls.
Not only does Mike pass along everything pertinent about the particular pleasures of growing pansies or, say, parsley, he will also, as you just heard, ponder the dread Colorado potato beetle next week. You Bet Your Garden.